Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, high and mighty listeners? It's your boy, John Gabris, to talk to you about Blue Apron. Look, you need to know how to cook. Not only do you feel like you know your way around a kitchen, but cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money instead of ordering expensive takeout again. I know what you're thinking. I don't want to go shopping and doing all this stuff, but Blue Apron has you covered, man. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers all the fresh ingredients you need to create home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. It comes with the recipe. It comes with the ingredients. It couldn't be easier. Each meal could be prepared in 40 minutes or less. No trips to the grocery store and no more sad takeout. No more soggy delivery fries. Don't get fries delivered to you. You make your shit at home. No matter your dietary preferences, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like crispy chicken thighs with Formanova beet and pistachio salad and creme fraiche, pork schnitzel with quick kraut and mustard potatoes. Yeah, why get soggy fries delivered when you could be making mustard potatoes? Cook with ingredients you never used before, like watermelon radishes, farro, purple potatoes. Recipes between 500 and 700 calories per portion, delicious and good for you. Right now, you can get your first two meals for free at blueapron.com/mighty. That's blueapron.com/mighty. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. It's somewhere in between takeout and doing it yourself, man. Just do it. I am mighty. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's your boy, the number one fuckboy, Gabris, here today to talk about food. And I can talk about food with anyone anytime I can, but I recently met this dude who is an expert on food, so an opportunity to talk to an expert on food. And by expert on food, I mean he's got a gut. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, Zach Brooks. Zach, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Number two fuck boy. Wait, no, food boy. Number one food boy.
Number one food boy, number two fuck boy.
I thought we were here to talk about fitness. I listened to your fitness episode number two.
Get yourself, you're like, hold on, what's this podcast going to be like? Let me listen to the fitness one. I hope Gabers doesn't ask me about increasing my bench press.
Worst thing I ever did was listen to that. I was like, oh my God.
It makes you feel guilty, right?
I'm gonna be the opposite of that guy.
That's fine, because I am the opposite of that guy that I was on that podcast. I'm a new man every week.
Well, I feel like I mean, we haven't known each other that long, but I have to say I have fallen harder and faster for you than any other dude I've ever met. And I mean, I really, I listen to your podcast most of the time, fully erect.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Taco Bell episode, the gay sex episode. I just, but I felt like listening to that episode, it was like, I don't know, like a Jew, like dating someone and starting to fall in love and then finding out the person they're with used to be a Nazi or something. Right. Wow. Like, wait, what? Like,
so you're equating fitness with Nazism.
Yeah, pretty much. Like when you do the Taco Bell episode that you did, and then follow it up with the whatever the hell it was you guys were talking about. I mean,
I'm a complex individual. Clearly. That's all you need to know is that I'm a complex individual. So you host a podcast called Food is the New Rock.
Yes.
And we met at a music festival where you were there talking about hosting a podcast about food. I was there doing some live stream stuff about food and our paths crossed.
Yes.
We started talking and then we talked about Taco Bell for about a half hour and I was like, I'm into this dude.
Like the whole thing. I mean, not just the food, also right. the preparations to eat, the things you have to do afterwards.
Yeah, what the effect of Taco Bell on your body.
Mapping out your nearest, you know, bathrooms.
It's really funny that I did do a full-on episode of my podcast about Taco Bell, but Taco Bell has come up in maybe all of them.
Sure.
Outside of
sure. Well, oh my God, dude, I actually thought about you. I was in New York a week ago, and have you been to this place, Mission Cantina?
Yes.
It's so their new thing, they just introduced it, is so they just switched to doing all burritos, and then there's this place called Fuku. Have you heard of this place?
Momofuku?
Well, Fuku is Momofuku's, David Chang's new fried chicken place.
Right, right, right.
And so they, Danny Bowen, who's the chef from Mission Chinese and Mission Cantina, made these fried chicken fingers that they give to Fuku. And then Fuku makes this Mission Chinese chicken finger dish from their chicken fingers. And then Fuku gave their chicken fingers to Mission Cantina. And Mission Cantina makes
Crunchwrap Supreme?
Makes a Crunchwrap Supreme out of the Momofuku chicken fingers.
Holy shit. I'm literally in silence and my mouth is fully engorged.
It is.
Oh, it that is, sounds the minute fucking
they,
awesome.
The minute they laid it in front of me, I instantly thought of you.
I go to New York like once a month for work, and I'm starting to try to eat at the restaurants I never ate at in the 10 years I was there. Holy shit, Zach's showing me
look at this picture.
It's low. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Midtown Lunch LA on Instagram. Follow Zach. Like, Zach's just getting his plugs out early on. that looks fucking awesome.
It's the real deal. Like, I mean, they've mastered the
and you know I'm a big
folding art of making this Crunchwrap Supreme thing.
You know I'm a fan of chicken finger exchange programs as well. I've always been a fan of, like, I'll give you two of my chicken fingers for two of yours.
On the podcast, I mean, basically every week we talk to a chef just about music or a musician just about food.
Oh, that's really fun.
So when I started it, I was like, this is great because, you know, people who love music will be into it. People who love food will be into it. And then a friend of mine was like, no, actually, it's the opposite. If you're into music but not into food, you're not going to give a shit about your pot. So it is a very niche.
So if you like food or music, check it out. If you like food and music,
it'll be your favorite podcast of all time.
And if you don't like food or music, what are you? Are you a fucking weird ass like pod person? You gotta like at least food or music. So do you find there's a lot of overlap in that world?
Oh yeah.
Because chefs listen to music, obviously.
Sure. But I mean, it's more than that. I mean, when I was younger, music was everything. Like
right.
Teenager, like all my money went to buying compact
tapes.
Discs.
I don't know how old you are.
No, I mean, I obviously had tapes too.
Yeah.
You know, the whole mixtape thing. Like,
yeah, 13 you know. Years old, I got the Weezer Blue album on CD. It was like my first CD. And I was like, this is all that matters in life.
I also started my CD collection on my bar mitzvah. Yeah, I mean,
when you get your double chai, you can take that $36 and treat yourself to a couple of nice.
The best was my cousin was on Remote Control on MTV. Remember that game show?
Yeah, yeah.
With where the person who made it to the finals had to guess all the videos on the screens. He guessed every video, won every prize. And one of the prizes was one of those cassette record player, CD player, whatever.
Like those big stacks?
And his family gave that to me for my bar mitzvah.
Awesome.
And so that was my first CD player.
Was one of those like full racks where there's a record player on top. Oh, that's the dream.
With the built-in two speakers on either side.
I kind of want one of those now.
It's yeah.
You can get, I mean, you can have better sound come out of your phone, but
my mom sold that thing for $3 at a yard sale. I'm not gonna lie.
You got a dollar of that though, right? You got a cut. You demanded a cut. So who's your favorite person that you've or who was one of the best guests you had on the show? We had
Action Bronson on,
who's a big food guy,
a huge food guy. He was actually working in a restaurant. He grew up, I mean, his family like owned a restaurant.
Yeah, he was like a chef coming up.
He was like a chef.
I'm a huge Action Bronson fan. Fuck That's Delicious on Vice, his food show. It's one of the best food shows. Fuck Guy Fieri, who I do like. I like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, but Fuck That's Delicious is my favorite. I've never related to someone. I am talent and tattoos away from just being Action Bronson.
But he smokes a lot of weed. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no, never mind. Another difference we have. I know. I'm obsessed with him and his show. It's so good. So you had him on.
Oh, yeah.
To talk about food. What'd you guys talk about?
We talked about the intricacies of New York City street meat. You know, the halal chicken and lamb over rice platters.
Oh, those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, we went back and forth on that. Like, we went real deep on that.
I go double meat, no rice.
Double meat, no rice. Now, when you... no, come on. But the rice at the... My favorite one, the rice is like the best part.
Oh, see, I ate it a lot. There was one towards the end of my time living in New York. One opened up on the corner of the F train stop in Brooklyn. Okay. And I would get it every Wednesday night after one of my shows. I would get super stoned after my show and then get off the train and get double meat, no rice. So it's just like the shredded lettuce, onion, yeah, tomato.
It's healthy.
It's trying to make it healthier.
Paleo, I get
but
it.
But it's double meat and then spray it down. Just ejaculate all over with white sauce, barbecue,
and
hot.
Can I tell
you
something? That white sauce, way less calories than you think. You want me to ruin your life right now?
I think you might make my life better.
Well, the famous cart that was in Midtown on 53rd and 6th, where late at night people would line up.
Yeah, yeah.
Some company came on and like are turning them into franchises. So they just opened one up in Costa Mesa. And part of the franchising thing is now they have packets of those sauces that you can get.
Oh, wow.
And they have to have all the calorie information. And a packet of that white sauce is like 50 calories.
Because it's yogurt based or something?
Nothing.
Like
it's mayonnaise.
Oh, but, it's mayonnaise. Oh, it's so
maybe
weird.
There's just not a lot in the packet. I don't know.
want me to ruin your life right now? You eat five times the amount. Like if you eat five packets.
I mean, but still, 250. I thought for sure it'd be because
it looks
more.
Like you're just spraying sour cream on a sandwich. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh. And but I don't. I mean, 50 calories. It's not.
I'm a big fan of street meat. Of halal cart barbecue sauce too.
So that I've never really gotten into, but they have that at the franchises as well. The barbecue sauce, they did not forget
it's
about
like,
you.
It's like syrupy sweet. It's like wildly sweet.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of that and a little bit of hot and a lot of white.
Are we still talking about halal?
Yeah, I spray that on my lower back and I can sleep like an angel.
Yeah, so we had Action Bronson on. He's like, he was working in a restaurant, broke his leg.
And when he was laid up,
that's when he started like doing the hip hop thing.
That's so awesome. Now he's like big in that world.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Ah, it's so cool. I saw it like on Fuck That's Delicious, because you said chefs about music and musicians about food. On Fuck That's Delicious, he went to Italy and Batali like listened to a track and then like was inspired to make a dish off that.
It's like my dream combo right there. Hanging out in Italy eating pizza
with Mario Batali, yeah,
and Action Bronson. Like, oh,
dude, it's preacher like, choir. Well, he went to. I showed my wife an episode where he goes to Inc. and I live next door to Inc. And that night, my wife and I went to dinner at Inc. We were like, wait, we can just do this. The food looks so awesome. Everything looks great. It's like, oh, let's just go there.
Yeah. That place is awesome. Have you eaten at the sandwich shop next door?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I did an episode of this podcast talking about sandwiches with Max Silvestri, and we talked about Ink Sack for a while. Very good.
That place is, I love that, like, he could have done, I mean, for people who don't know, it's Michael Voltaggio, yeah, who won Top Chef. And he's got this super fancy restaurant called Inc.
It's super high end. You know what I like about it is that it's not like you can go in jeans and a t-shirt on a weekend and not feel gross.
Well, that's just called LA, I think.
Right, I guess, yeah, maybe that
unless
is just
you're eating at the place where celebrities eat. But the real chefy places, feel like...
So let's talk about that. Do you have any favorite restaurants? Because... usually we have a very more specific topic. You is just sort of like, let's talk. I want to have a guy who knows about food to come on to talk about food because I love it. But so let's talk a little bit about what are some of your favorite restaurants here in LA that are like the chefy type places? Because like I ate it at, when I ate at Animal, it was a life-changing experience.
Yeah, well, Animal was the first place, because I've only lived in L.A. I mean, I lived in L.A. maybe like 10 or 15 years ago for a couple years, and I'd moved back maybe 5 or 6 years ago from New York.
You were in New York for a while, yeah.
And when I first moved here, when I originally moved to L.A., I moved here from Boston. I was like, I mean, the fattest I've ever been until present.
I've ever been V1, right, BC.
At that point in my life, yeah.
Since Christ has died, I'm now again the fattest I've ever been.
And I come to L.A. and I'm like, this place is amazing. The sun is out. Like, everyone's smiling. And compared to Boston.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
I'm just a miserable shithead. And I got here. I thought it was the greatest place ever. Then I moved to New York. And moving back here from New York is different. Like,
right.
I was like, oh, this place isn't as great as I remember.
Because you lived in New York City.
Because I lived in New York, which is the bomb. Just the greatest city.
Yeah. You're talking to a native who I love.
I feel very uncomfortable here. Very, very uncomfortable. And so one of my first meals was an Animal. And I was like, oh, it's going to be all right.
For those of you who don't know, Animal's a restaurant on Fairfax, just south of Melrose, in West Hollywood area, in the Grove area, in L.A. And who are the guys that own
John
that?
John and Vinny.
John and Vinny, who also own Son of a Gun and a couple other spots.
Well, that's the thing. So they Animal, when I first moved here, was like, you know, it's very, like, it's heavy. You know, it's like pork belly and, like, poutine.
Pork belly, barbecue pork belly sliders is one of their things on their menu that is absolutely fantastic. Oxtail poutine is maybe the best poutine I've ever had. The fries are somehow crispy.
Underneath the oxtail gravy
and cheese. Oh, so good.
It's a good way to get completely gross, but still feel classy.
Right, because I also like that they do the bottles of Pilsner there, and they have good Animal's my favorite restaurant in L.A. I've eaten there. That's like when it's my birthday, that's where my wife takes me. Even though she's like, we can go anywhere you want. I'm like, we'll just go. I want to smoke a joint, go to Animal, and just order 8 things and go ape shit.
It's a great birthday restaurant for sure.
Yeah. Pig ear chopped up with chili, lime, and eggs.
Deep fried pig. And if you're like super into food, like some of these things might sound like maybe 5 years ago, because like that was like super hot.
Right.
That was like really popular when Animal opened. They were like ahead of that curve.
Yeah. They were like in that like gastronomy, like that boom of like butchery, like type restaurant. Yeah.
So
yeah.
After I lived here for a year or two, coming from New York, what's great about New York is just living in New York helps you to maintain.
Right.
Like between just all the walking up all the stairs, walking, down the stairs, subway, like
stress,
the whole thing. Yeah.
Fear.
Like I was able to be a food writer, eat like a fatso for a living, but didn't gain any weight. I mean, I wasn't thin.
You weren't healthy per se, but you weren't escalating.
Yeah.
You weren't having like heart to hearts with your doctor.
Yeah, exactly. But then you move here and all of a sudden you're driving everywhere. You're not moving at all. I'm not going to walk. Like it's a cliche for a reason. And so, you know, after a few years, I was like, oh fuck. Like I can't, like the Animal food. I don't know. I was kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get healthy, but... And then right around that time, John and Vinny opened up Son of a Gun, which is a very, like, seafood... Because I was like, man, I just want to eat, like, sushi and, like...
Right.
You know, like, I want to eat seafood.
Well, like, that's what everyone says. Like, everyone talks about how healthy L.A. and California is. And they're like, yeah, you're going to lose weight just going out there. Everything is avocado. It's green juice. It's hiking. I'm like, yeah, but... You could also skip all that.
There's also tacos at 1 a.m. Every corner of the city.
Right. I'm like, I'm doing more of like the weed and tacos thing than the smoothie and hiking thing.
Yeah, no. So I used to work in radio. Music was my career. Like I loved music as a kid. I worked at my college radio station. I interned at worked in radio my whole life, like worked at this station called FNX in Boston. Here in LA, I worked at Indy 103, rest in peace, which was like amazing radio station.
Yeah, it was a great one.
And I worked at Sirius in New York, satellite radio.
Oh, cool.
And so when I was working at Sirius, I was eating lunch around there. I was like the guy at work that was always like, come on, man, let's go to lunch. Like 12 o'clock. Like, let's go, man. Got to take your full hour. Like, I've got like heard about this great, like shitty Chinese place or, you know, it's an extra 3 blocks, but man, I've heard their General Tso's chicken's unbelievable.
Oh, that's fun.
And so
is that how Midtown Lunch was started?
So I, around that time, it's like maybe 9 years ago, I really wanted to have a good excuse to eat gross lunches every day. So I started this blog called Midtown Lunch, where I was just eating lunch in Midtown. And there's just so many people in Midtown that,
right, that
it took off. Like, it was like, it just, like, Gawker made fun of me the second week I was doing it, just being like, you know, Midtown Lunch, like, is such an oxymoron.
Right.
And I did falafel week.
Yeah, for those of you who don't understand New York City, Midtown is like where everybody, you either work downtown or in Midtown. It's pretty much where anyone who works in an office, right, works in one of those two spots. And Midtown is sort of like the dearth of personality of New York City, where it's like, it's where the TGI Friday. There are tons of spots that you can eat, but you got to find
them. But there are hidden places. Yeah,
you
right.
can eat at yeah. you can eat at just the corner deli every day from your office, which is what a lot of people do.
Well, that's what Midtown Lunch was like, anti that. Like, it was like finding like the good place or whatever.
It's like, oh, hey, if you want a ham sandwich, this place actually has one of the best. Oh, fuck, I forgot where I went, but someone recently, when I was back in New York, took me to a Cuban sandwich spot.
Margone.
Yep. I love that I didn't even finish the sentence. I just looked at
you. I know every block of Midtown. Oh. It's like, I was like a beat reporter, a fat beat reporter.
Margone is
46 between 5th and 6th.
Yep, yeah. right near, oh.
Classic. Or no, 6th and 7th. 6th and 7th.
It's like right near Rockefeller.
So
it was
so good.
It was like the best Cuban sandwich I ever had. It was like $6.
And they do...
And it was huge.
You know what they do that's my favorite is... I'm from Miami, so like finding like a place like that is... They call them chicken chicharrones, which is where they take a chicken wing, the drumstick part of a chicken wing, the small...
Yeah.
And... they basically like take a knife and they cut off all the skin and everything around the bone, like the bone part. So they have this little tiny, it's almost like a popsicle.
Like a lollipop.
Yeah, like a fried chicken lollipop, where they leave the big round thing of meat at the top, like the big ball, but then shave everything off on the bone. So you have this little stick. And then, oh
it's awesome.
My God, those are... Can't get that shit in L.A., good Cuban food.
Oh, I love Cuban food. I grew up, my childhood best friend was Cuban, and his grandparents lived in Miami, and when we go to Miami, this is how old I am, though, we'd rollerblade to this place called Alex's Cafe and have a pan cubano and a milkshake every single day, and then rollerblade back.
Now, when you say milkshake, were you rocking, like, the like weird Caribbean, like mamey.
Yeah,
and, like,
I didn't fully
stuff.
Understand what the flavors were. Yeah. We could get vanilla or you can get some other things.
Some weird Caribbean fruit that tastes like chocolate.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, a fruit that tastes like chocolate?
I'm in.
What?
I'm a health nut. Pan cubano is like some of the best bread. Cuban bread is like the best fucking bread.
It is. The best one is the medianoche, which is like the Cuban sandwich on the egg bread.
Yeah. That's the medianoche is like the... It's Spanish for midnight.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is the sandwich you eat after you've been drinking.
But the bread, I mean, for people on the West Coast, it would be the equivalent of like making a Cuban sandwich on a giant King's Hawaiian roll.
Right.
For Jews, it would be like making it on challah.
Or focaccia.
But it's just, it is like yellow and sweet.
Oh,
and
so good. What? All right. So real quick. By the way, Margone, I can take them. I now want to get back to New York and go to Margone. So,
have you ever paused the podcast and gone and jerked off in the bathroom in the middle? Like, is that something you've done?
Oh,
before?
We don't pause. We'll bring the mics in if we have to. If we have to go in the bathroom and finger our mouths thinking of Margone, is that food masturbating? Just like tickling the umami? I got the umami spot. What was not, for maybe so? I have some Midtown friend people listening, but I also will be in Midtown at some point in the near future. What's a good hidden gem that you know is still around that people should check out?
I mean, my favorite, one of the very first places I ate at was this place called Hingwan, which is around the corner from...
Is that the Mongolian
Margone
buffet place?
It's not... I don't know what those words... What do you mean when you say those words? Mongolian buffet, two different things. I mean, if you want to get into it,
maybe I'm calling it a buffet, but it's like a dude stands at a giant wok and you just like point at five things and they put it all together.
No. Hingwan was like this place that it's right next to Rockefeller Center, and it's like this shitty Chinese place that had two lines. The first line was like, you stand in front of the steam table and you point to what you want, and they've got like General Tso's chicken and egg rolls and whatever. And there's like 20 dudes, like fat dudes in suits, like waiting for their food. And then there was this second line that was all Chinese people. And the menu's kind of in Chinese, and they have all these like paper this was like 9 years ago, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And that place had like Chinatown style, like roast pork over rice and like noodle soups and like stuff that you'd only get in Chinatown. So that was like one of the first places I wrote about.
Hing Wan, still there.
Classic place. And then at one point, like a few years after I was working there, one day I showed up and they had this paper up on the sign that said roast pig over rice. And I was like, well, because they always had roast pork over rice. I mean, you got to see, like, what's the distinction? I mean, there's clearly
They changed it for a reason.
Yeah. You got to, I mean, these are the little intricacies that you recognize when you were the Midtown Beat reporter that I was.
Hey, guys, I got a scoop, and the scoop is pig.
It turned out it was basically like roast pork, like sliced roast pork belly. So it was like, if you imagine like a Neapolitan, but pork. Like Neapolitan ice cream, but
yes,
pork.
The three different shades of like the skin, the fat, meat, the meat.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. It was like the meat, the fat, and then the little piece of crispy skin on the end.
Pork belly is like one of the best foods.
And then they
ever.
Served it over rice with like some sort of like soy, you know, soy, sweet soy sauce kind of thing on it.
A little ponzu of some sort,
The day I found that was one of the most exciting days on the site. It's like, this just in. Breaking news.
I thought you were going to say one of the most exciting days of my life, and then I was going to go, you have children too, right? The day I found the roast pork belly over rice.
You want this podcast to get dark? Bring up my children.
Okay, never mind. No thanks. That, by the way, that phrase alone is one of the most intense phrases I've ever heard. You want to get dark? I'll talk about my children. It's like, maybe not.
Yeah, I've got three fucking kids.
Holy shit, congratulations.
Do these mics pick up really loud exhales?
Yeah, we'll put the dad filter on so they don't hear you go when you sit down or anything. So Hing Wan, we talked about Margone. Anything else over there in the Midtown area?
Oh my god, you got
the Daisy Mays barbecue truck was like a lifesaver for a little bit for me when I worked
in Midtown. Daisy Mays, you know that dude, Adam Perry Lang, is here now in LA.
Doing
and
what?
He's looking to open some sort of barbecue meat restaurant. He actually did a pop-up. He's done two pop-ups over the past year or two behind Jimmy Kimmel's set because they're buddies.
Oh.
So he's done this like barbecue pop-up. Like,
and Daisy Mays is good barbecue.
Daisy Mays was great. I don't know if it's still open or not. He's not involved anymore, but right. He's the dude that like opened it. And he did this pop-up here in LA. He does this smoked short rib.
Ooh.
But it's not like short ribs like you're thinking. It's like the whole short rib on the bone.
Oh, shit.
So it's like this, it's barbecue, but it's this like massive piece of...
Oh, that sounds like, fucking
it's,
awesome.
He's a great human being. He's been on the podcast, talked music with him. Because, you know, that's what you want to do. With
finally,
a guy.
I get like this amazing chef. I'm like, all right, so what's your favorite band?
Yeah.
Incubus. Okay. Here we go.
I see you've listened to the podcast before. Yeah. It's like, oh, what do I do with this? Oh, you like Nickelback? All right.
Okay, cool. Well, sometimes we talk to chefs about food.
This podcast was the worst idea ever. Who thought of this bullshit?
Okay, well, we need to find more musicians and more chefs. Those people don't have busy schedules.
And obviously, you really want to know where Lady Gaga eats lunch. Like, that's what everybody's dying to know.
Yeah, you got to stand out. I think that's a fun idea. You just said barbecue. This is a little off tangent, but as we say on High and Mighty, tangents are not only allowed, they're encouraged. I ate at a food truck in Vegas called Truck U, and
sounds terrible already.
It was it's a barbecue truck. The guy, one of the things he made was a burnt ends burrito.
Ooh.
With duck fat cooked fries in the burrito, like a mango habanero salsa and like a chipotle aioli molasses sauce. Ugh. I ate it. I never split my food up, and I ate like half and then ate another half like an hour later. It was so fucking good.
I am a firm believer that you wrap anything in a tortilla and it makes it better. Burritos are the greatest food delivery system.
See, I'm a sandwich guy, but burritos and sandwich both, for me, it's like, I love this food, put it in between two pieces of bread with mayo, and I like it even more. But also, wrap it up with some sour cream, and I'm going to
I think we're in the same. I mean, you're talking
about the same family,
yeah, right?
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
still talking about surrounding it in carbs.
Right, right. Let's coat it in carbs, then jam it down
I feel like that's a good segue into the gift I brought you.
I noticed you brought in a bag, Zach. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to come across as greedy, but did you bring me something?
I brought you something.
Oh, my God.
This is... I mean, I don't know if you remember talking about this.
Oh, no.
But
What the fuck is that? The Panda Express?
The Panda Express burrito.
Oh my God. We briefly...
Your sound engineer just turned around and like slumped in his chair in like a very...
I'm like already defeated by
this. ...sexual way.
Oh my God. Wait a minute. So
let's talk about
when
this.
When did we talk about this?
We talked about this and I only remembered it because to get warmed up, I listened to our 10-minute conversation on The Food is the New Rock
Outside Lands.
Yeah, I was like... I like listened back to it because I was like, I got to bring you something.
Right.
And then we talked about this and I was like, oh yeah, I am totally driving 30 minutes out of my way to Pasadena. There is like, I live in Culver City, by the way.
For LA locals, that's insane. You drove from Culver City to Pasadena to Los Feliz.
Yeah. By the way, anybody who knows me is like, that's, yeah, he is. I used you as an excuse to go here. Like this was not putting me out in any way. So yeah, there is basically a Panda Express on the border of Pasadena and Arcadia. And it looks from the outside like a regular Panda Express. There's a Panda Express sign. But then as you walk up to it, there's like written on the door, it says Innovation Kitchen, which is like basically they've made this Panda Express in Pasadena into
like a test facility,
like an incubator for their crazy ideas.
I love
that.
And
so one of the things they do, so they have like a tea bar where you can get like bubble teas and shit like that.
Oh, awesome. Oh, so just in case people are... like, because Panda Express isn't nationwide, it's like a Chinese food chain. It's the closest you can get to New York style Chinese outside of
New York. I wouldn't say that. I mean, for aficionados of Chinese food, I would say it is the West Coast version of mall food court Chinese,
right?
Like
where
they've got like orange chicken and noodles and rice, and so they don't have like General Tso's chicken,
right?
Their egg rolls are kind of terrible.
Yeah, they're like no dumplings. Their crab rangoons leave a lot to be desired.
I mean, I will say it's hard. I mean, crab rangoons is what it is. I'm not sure what in your mind makes for a better crab rangoon.
Pretty much the red sauce, the sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're putting cream cheese in a wonton and deep frying it, I mean,
yeah.
Are you talking about the amount of imitation crab?
Yeah,
mix it.
I need
cream
more
cheese,
fake
or...
crab.
Yeah. But
so they have an innovation kitchen.
This innovation kitchen, and one of the things they'll do is they'll take anything they make, which is like orange chicken, beef and broccoli, whatever, and they will wrap it in. They call it a scallion pancake, but it's not a scallion pancake. Like if you ever had scallion pancakes, it's those flaky. It's not like that. It's more like a mushu pancake.
Right.
So imagine a gigantic mushu pancake with little bits of scallion in it. And what you end up with is basically the largest mushu pancake burrito thing.
By the way, what he's holding looks like
massive.
It's massive.
It's like a mission style burrito.
Yeah. Like, it looks like a 24 ounce, like tall boy beer. That's how thick and tall.
So, I brought two.
So you want me to eat both?
By the way, your sound guy was just like, yes, thank Christ. So I brought two and I figured I'd give you the choice. Cause I will say, this is one of my favorite food items I've ever eaten in my entire life. It really, and I'm not even joking. I mean, I like Panda Express. I love Panda Express.
I have a big spot in my heart, a plaque written spot for Panda Express.
Yeah, but that being said, I mean, I'm not like, I need to eat Panda Express at least once a week.
No.
This burrito, I could eat once a week. This legitimately like improves Panda Express by putting it in burrito form. I don't know what it is. I do know what it is, but it like
we naturally segued from talking about wrapping food up. So what choices do I have?
All right. So basically
I'm starting to sweat in anticipation. This is,
you're like, just give me the fucking burrito.
I'm like, just tell me what the two are. Let me choose now.
All right, so you get your choice of two entrees. Like you can get rice or noodles. But the thing is that Panda Express's rice is shit.
Right.
But you got to have rice in a burrito, right?
Yeah.
So half and half. Which is classic Panda Express move.
Rice and lo mein.
Half rice, half noodles, and then you get choice of two entrees. Now the two entrees, like you immediately would think, oh my God, like we gotta do like orange chicken and Beijing beef, you know, but that would be a mistake.
Right.
Because two sweet fried crunchy things is kind of too much. You gotta do the balance.
Okay.
So the classic is you get the orange chicken, and then you balance it out with the spicy string beans.
Ooh,
you know,
okay.
And then they give you a choice of, they've got a couple little pickled things like a papaya salad or like pickled cucumbers. You get one of those. And then they got crunchy stuff. You could just get all the crunchy things. So you end up with fried onions and then those wontons, crispy wontons.
Oh my God.
And then they've got sauces, these amazing sauces that they don't have at a regular Panda Express. But don't get that on the burrito because it's too crazy. You got to get it on the side and then you work it like salsa, like at a Mexican restaurant, like a little bit bite, you know, whatever. Yeah. So first one's orange chicken string beans. And then I've got this creation, which is surf and turf. Which is you take the honey walnut shrimp, and same half and half rice, half and half honey walnut shrimp, and then you mix it with their Angus steak thing. Because they have beef and broccoli, but their beef and broccoli is kind of crappy. The Angus steak is like chunks of steak, and it's legitimately delicious.
God.
So you get the, you know, you can also do halvesies. You can eat them both. I mean, yeah.
I think orange chicken's my favorite dish, so I'm gonna try the orange chicken. There's no way I'm gonna eat.
I probably should have given this to you 5 minutes ago. You could have eaten while I talked, but
but this is so exciting! I can't believe. Holy shit! This thing is like.
Oh no! Don't open it! Wait! What are you doing? No! You got a burrito. You're like opening the whole thing. You need the tinfoil to preserve the structural integrity.
Oh my!
Have to like keep as much of it wrapped up as possible.
I see what
just
you're saying.
Open the top of it.
I see what you're
and
saying.
And work
now.
Your way down. Just get the top of the shaft all in. Yeah, there you go. You got it. Yeah.
Oh my God. This is fucking crazy. This feels like it's not supposed to be eaten. It's very good, but this doesn't feel like food. There's so many textures going on.
Have you gotten down to the orange chicken yet? You're right. So,
it's just crazy to have lo mein on a burrito.
If you're wondering, yes, it is my dream to be the Jared of Panda Express. Like, that is what I'm gunning for here.
In every way possible.
Yeah. I mean, I am.
I want to be fired from.
Listen, I'm willing to do what needs to be done. I'm everything's on the table.
Oh, my God. This is fucking amazing. Holy shit.
That's work. That's I do that for a living.
This is fucking amazing.
That was my day right there.
I just got to the orange chicken, and the orange chicken is the exact. See, you're right. I would have blown it because I would have done orange chicken and the honey walnut shrimp,
and
that would have been too much sweet sauce.
It's too much. Yeah. You need the steak to balance out the. The worst is that they haven't. They don't sell. This is going to surprise you, but not a lot of people order these. And the people who do look exactly like us.
Handsome young brunette.
When they pile the stuff on, it's kind of frightening because you're like, you're not going to be able to close that up.
They don't do, like, and this isn't like, all right, fine, we'll put it on a burrito and they just throw some shit in there. This is fucking humongous.
It's a ridiculous amount of food. And as they're rolling it up, you're like, that's why I was scared when you started to unwrap it.
It's going
to
explode.
I was pretty sure it was going to explode all over your face.
I'm taking a photo, so hopefully I remember to put this up with this episode.
I've got plenty of glamour shots of that burrito. If you want to borrow them, I've got.
I've got them on a file on my computer that the FBI just confiscated.
If they did make a mini burrito, it would kind of turn me on. Just as a snack.
Yeah, this is, by the way, not a good idea for me to have in the middle of the day. I'm already imagining that the rest of my day is shot as I eat this.
I was scared listening to the fitness thing, your fitness podcast as I drove over here. I was like, maybe this is a bad idea.
I am trying to turn my life around, but I'll start right after this.
Oh, yeah.
I ate so much food last night. I'm like disgustingly, I felt disgusting.
What'd you do last night?
I ordered hoagies and wings. I ordered just a bunch of wings.
That's the name of a place, by the way, people.
Hoagies and wings is the most generic. Oh my God, I have to put this down so I can continue hosting. But holy shit, I'm going to have more of that as soon as we're done. Zach, that's insane.
It's what I do.
I am feeling lightheaded. I ate about a third of it way too fast. Holy shit, that's fucking awesome.
I'm telling you, you wrap anything in a tortilla.
That tortilla is particularly good too. It's like super thin.
Well, that's what I said to them. I actually have been doing a little bit of work with Panda Express. I make these videos with Zagat, where I go and I eat like ridiculous shit. And the very first one we did was at Orange Chicken. It was this burrito place. It was this burrito.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was just me flipping out about how much I loved it. And one of the Panda Express like people were there. And they were just very impressed with how excited I got about their... So they're like, can we work together in some way? And I'm like, I don't know.
Do you need a fry cook? So I've been bussing tables at the Pasadena.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm really...
Told you I had three kids. Working eight jobs.
That would be my dream is to...
One time was talking about eating weird food for a job. I one time got flown to Dubai to eat a Pizza Hut pizza.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, quick round trip flight to Dubai.
Yeah, I was talking about the Pizza Hut.
Yeah, oh, it was
hey, it's a little Pizza Hut humor right there.
cheeseburger pizza. It was disgusting. It had lettuce and Russian dressing.
And you
on
had
it
to be in Dubai to make it as offensive as possible. Right, like they were like,
well, the thing was, it was one of those, you know, like fast food places have like weird shit, like. I also went to go to Japan to eat a burger that had salmon roe on it.
Ooh.
But my flight to Detroit got delayed and I missed my connection. And I was like, I don't want to go to Japan for 16 hours. I was prepared to go for 24, but
Japanese McDonald's is the only McDonald's that sounds good to me.
Right, they like have like white glove waiter service and shit.
They've got some weird Japanese.
Like you can get like lobster, I think, at like a Japanese Wendy's. I'm definitely making that up. Please don't fact check that. As I said it, I was like, "That where did you hear that? That sounds like a made up fact."
I have eaten McDonald's lobster rolls on numerous occasions in New England.
Oh, right, that makes sense. Yeah. That's a spot to do that. I'm in LA. I'm new here. Yep. I love food. Besides the Panda Express Innovation Kitchen in Glendale, which, by the way, people, if you have access to this, go try this. Holy shit, go try this. Is there a place that, like, you go? If a friend is visiting who likes food, who hasn't been to California before, is there a place where you're like, I got you. I'm going to take you to a spot. I'm sure you have a... I know this is like pick one of your favorites.
It's definitely, I will say, when people come in from out of town, there's this place by LAX called Connie Seafood. It's like a Mexican... That's the thing. So everyone, like, obviously there's like great Mexican food here.
Right. There's every gas station has a taco truck that has some of the best Mexican you've ever had.
And people eat like Mexican food in like West Hollywood or where, you know, there's like those dingy like bar Mexican places.
Right.
Like where
Tex-Mex, like El Carmen
or whatever it is.
Petty Cash.
And people will be like, this is the best Mexican food I've ever eaten. It's like, well, that's not even really Mexican food. That's just like LA.
It's tacos.
It's like LA Mexican, like whatever. But Mexico is kind of, it's got a lot of different regions and each region has their own
like complete
specific kind of food. That's so there's this one region called Sinaloa, which is very seafood heavy. So there's this place near the airport called Connie Seafood. That
is it Connies?
C-O-N-I.
C-O-N-I,
yeah.
Okay.
And so it's by the airport. It's Sinaloan Mexican, and they do this whole fish that they... It's like this huge fish. They butterfly it and grill the whole thing.
Oh.
They give you tortillas and onions, and then they do these like ceviches, like a raw shrimp.
Love ceviche.
Ceviche, which you wouldn't... Like, you wouldn't think, oh, I am around the corner from the Forum in Inglewood.
Yeah.
I want some
raw fish.
Shrimp.
Yeah.
But this place is, like, legit. It is so good. And they do these smoked fish tacos.
Oh.
And it's, like, off the, you know, airport pickup. Like, I'll pick friends up at the airport.
Just to be able to
eat at this, as an excuse to eat at this place.
I usually go to immediately, before I moved here, if I landed at LAX and I rented a car, I went to the In-N-Out.
In-N-Out, yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, the LAX In-N-Out is a classic move.
Yeah.
This place is like 2.0. This is like airport pickup straight to this place. Anybody from out of town, you'll blow their mind. They've never eaten anything like this.
Oh, that's cool. That's good to know.
Maybe not go at night. But I sent friends there. I had a friend in town for like a teacher's conference, like a teacher from Chicago. And he was at a conference at this hotel by the airport.
I like that you have this complicated job of like food writer, blogger, podcaster. And then when you say teacher, you like give it air quotes. A teacher conference? Like the most classic American job you can have. He's a fireman.
I sent five teacher, like high school teachers.
From Chicago.
to Inglewood at 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, from their hotel. Literally, the cab driver was like, no, I'm not going to take you there. And they're like, what do you mean? They're like, you don't want to go there. They're like, no, we got this. And so they call me. He called me the next day. He's like, yeah, our cab driver wouldn't take you there. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. I guess I haven't been there at night before.
Right. It is. I only go for lunch. It's not the best neighborhood.
It's great. It's totally fine. It's safe.
It's safe. It's just one of those things. It's an old holdover.
The cab driver just doesn't want to take white people from a hotel there.
Right. He thinks that they're like, oh, you guys made a mistake. You're like,
yeah. After dinner, they were so full, they called an Uber or something. And while they were waiting, they were like, oh, we don't want to stay in the restaurant. So they walked outside just to like get some fresh air. And they said a cab driver pulled up and was like, what are you guys doing out here? And they're like, oh, we're waiting for an Uber. And the cab driver was like, no, 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 no. Get in now. You do not want to be standing out.
Jesus. Well, at least you know who the old holdover racists are.
But everyone should go. I mean, it's totally fine.
That being said, check it out. Okay, so that's Connie Seafood near the airport in Inglewood.
Yeah, that's a great out-of-town, like, take out-of-towners do.
Oh, that's awesome. That's, I'm trying to think of, Animal is, like, my go-to. Like, if I know the person loves meats, I'll take them to Animal.
I mean, the truth is, my favorite places in L.A. are all the ethnic places, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Like, Koreatown here is all my, like, the Korean food here.
Yeah, what's, because Korean barbecue is something we had in New York, but it seems to be mastered here in L.A.
I mean, Korean barbecue is amazing here, but, like, and that's what most people will go eat in Koreatown. They'll go eat Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
But have you ever had, like, pork belly, like, Korean pork belly?
No.
Bosam?
No.
Oh my god, like there's this thing called Bosam where you go and it's basically like boiled pork belly, and you go and they give you like lettuce wraps and kimchi,
and you just like
basically like make little wraps out of this pork belly. Oh. And it's like the greatest pork
the name
belly
of the place is Bosam.
No, the name of the best place,
the style
to go, that's the kind of food. And David Chang, the Momofuku dude, did like a really fancy version of this where he did like
big fan of everything David Chang does.
He did a big like pork shoulder, like roasted a pork shoulder, and gave you all the.
I think Momofuku, he does the. But he also does like the Bosam dinner and the fried chicken dinner.
So Bosam is the name for this thing, but traditionally he does it with the shoulder.
Yeah.
But the traditional one is pork belly. So a lot of people come from New York and they're like, oh yeah, this was good, but it wasn't like authentic. It should be like this. And it's like, no. Like the pork belly is the authentic shit. So if you're into pork belly, dude, you got to do that.
Oh, I am.
And they've got noodle soups, dumplings. I mean, there's just like...
I love all that.
You could go to a Koreatown place every single day for a year.
And never
repeat. And not hit all the places. It's like...
Because it's jam-packed. It's like what you imagine what it's like. And there's 7 restaurants on every block.
I've been to places where I've like walked in and they've been like... No, like you're not in the right place. And I'm like, no, I want to. And they're like, no. And I'm like, no, I want banchan. And they're like, oh, banchan. Yes, come in. Like they don't speak English and they don't expect like white people to come in. Like,
oh, wow.
There are just so many Korean people in Koreatown that there are tons of places that like white people don't even go
into. Banchan is like the fried chicken wings.
No. That's the. Right, there is a
in New York. There's a place called Banchan
that's fried chicken.
Yeah,
this was punch. Oh, you know, you want to get
let's
dorky?
Get deep.
You want to get dorky?
Yeah.
So I guess it's Banchan, which is more like a P sound.
Uh huh.
Banchan is like the name of the fried chicken. It's like a brand name.
Oh, okay.
Banchan is all those little dishes of things that they give you before the meal. Like, you know how they bring out the little
and it's got like a little like kimchi. It's a little sliced cucumbers and all that shit.
So there are some places that specialize just in those things, and they're like little.
Like you get the little beets
grocery stores where you can just go and buy them to take home. Because most Korean people, like a meal in a Korean house would consist of like all those little things and then maybe a little bit of meat and some. So it's not like, you know, you're getting like a whole big like main course or something.
Right.
So a lot of people will buy, they'll either make them themselves or they'll go to like a little grocery store where they specialize in making those things. And I walked in and the lady was like they were sitting there making the shit like at a table.
And they're like, no, sir, you're in the wrong spot.
Yeah, with their hands in a bowl. And then it was funny. I was like, they didn't really have anything. I mean, there was like kind of a fridge with like a like a thing pulled down, like a shade pulled yeah. down over the fridge. And then she was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then she like lifted the shade and they had all the little containers and stuff.
Oh,
like, she was
that's, like, oh, that's
take
so,
your pick, like of this. It
that's
was
so fun. I
was
love
what I would imagine a dispensary to be like, basically. Yeah. I've never been in one, but
they are a dispensary somewhere in between a pharmacy and going to the sketchiest dude's house in your neighborhood to buy weed. Like, there's some that are like, you're a first time patient. Can I help you with getting some medicine? And then there's some dispensaries where there's a guy standing there with like a machine gun. You're like, all right. Okay. I love nothing more than going to eat at a place that looks like you're not supposed to be eating at it.
You want to hear, do you remember when KFC invented the Double Down?
Yeah.
Remember that thing? The Double uh-huh. Down came out and I was like, oh, I
by the way, I split up the time into pre-Double Down and post-Double Down.
Like podcasts, you mean? Like yeah. second half of the podcast. Is there theme music? Is there a Double yeah. Down theme
We've
music
entered the Double Down
out?
Part where now I love the premise of a Double Down. It's paleo.
Dude, so I, like, when they announced this thing, I mean, I'm a food writer. I read about it, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't know, man. This is fucking nonsense. Like, listen, I'm a fat guy. I just brought you a Panda Express burrito. But I thought about this for, I'm like, am I going to go eat this shit? Like, am I going to buy into this? Like, you know, am I going to use my job as an excuse to get gross? And I really, like, so as I was driving to go to lunch, I was hungry. I didn't know where I was going to go. And all of a sudden, I saw like a KFC steeple, and I was like, all right. I was like, fuck it. Like,
I'll try this thing.
Actually, I parked. I think I stopped. I saw it, and I was like, I was at like a light, or I pulled over, and I was like, well, I don't know. Should I do this? Should I not do it? Fucking like just racking my brain. Like, trying to.
The lifelong struggle. Should I double down?
Yeah.
I got an 11, but the dealer's showing an 8. Do I double down?
Yeah. And I'm like, fine. Fuck it. I'm doing it. And I started the car up, drove around the corner, and it was that fucking dispensary KFC that South Park, it's a real place. Do you remember the South Park episode?
No.
With the KFC dispensary where KFC, they turned a KFC into a dispensary.
No.
And Cartman got super pissed because he ate at that KFC every fucking
day.
So
there's a weed store in a KFC building.
There is a weed, and basically the South Park dudes, I think, got the idea from this place in Culver City. It was one of the early dispensaries bought, like KFC went out of business.
And they bought like, and it looks like a KFC.
So it looks like a KFC.
Because KFCs kind of look like old churches, right? They look like Methodist churches in a weird way.
You're right.
They're like white and there's a steeple. Yeah.
And there is that place exists. It's in KFC. It's like, it looks like a KFC.
Oh,
and it's
shit. I didn't know about that.
So,
man, there's two loves crossing in my life.
Yeah.
There's the Venn diagram of Gabrus's life. There's the high and the mighty.
So just as a public service announcement, if you're in Culver City looking for KFC, avoid the disappointment.
Did you ever have the Double Down?
I never ate it.
You never had it. No, is it gone now? Did they like...
Probably. I mean, you can make it yourself. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I have done that before myself. I've definitely put chicken cutlet on a burger. the two species burger. If you add bacon, you could have the three species sandwich. It's delicious.
Oh.
So going back to real quick to like a place that looks like you're not supposed to eat there. There's this place in New Orleans. It's one of my favorite restaurants called Mimi's by the Marigny. And it's like, downstairs is a dive bar and it's nasty and people smoke cigarettes in there and then you just go up.
That is literally, you just like showed everybody where you live by
yeah.
that statement. It's disgusting. People smoke cigarettes in there.
Right. From between New York and LA, it has been
banned.
You mean
a normal bar in the rest of the country?
Can you still smoke in a lot of bars?
Everywhere. I actually, we were in Vegas.
You can't smoke in a bar that serves food.
We were in Vegas like recently, and I was like, what's going on in here? It smells like smoke. That can't be. And my wife was like, what are you, fucking idiot? We're in Vegas. Like,
yeah, we smoke everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere smokes everywhere.
There's 80-foot ceilings, but the smoke still gets in your face somehow. This place, Mimi's, was like downstairs. Everyone's smoking, drinking plastic cup beers. And I'm like, is the restaurant's upstairs? You walk upstairs, it says, no smoking in the restaurant. The restaurant looks like a VFW. It's like wood panel walls, and you order at the bar. It's all these little tiny cocktail tables. And then it's tapas. It's like Portuguese tapas. And it's fucking... Some local that we met on the flight was like, you got to try this place. So me and my wife went. It was so good. We were there a day early before our friends got there. Our friends got there the next day, and then we took them immediately there. And they have the vino verde, like the green wine, the like Portuguese, like it's like white wine, but it's like kind of greenish. That's so delicious. We drank like 5 bottles, goat cheese, croquettes, lamb chops. And in Fuck That's Delicious, Action Bronson actually goes there in the New Orleans episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't the chef that's like... Was that the...
He eats the lamb chops there, and he talks about how good they are, and eats them at a bar. But he doesn't have the goat cheese croquettes, which is the thing that I had there that was, like, unreal good.
Oh, I gotta go back and watch... That episode was amazing.
Oh, yeah, so good. I love New Orleans, too. That's another one of my favorites. Yeah. I will. I throw these out throughout the course of the show because it's a good reminder to myself. Remind me, audience, also, I'm going to do an episode just about going to New Orleans because I fucking love it there.
I was married in New Orleans.
My wife and I have been there like 5 times together. It's like my favorite city in
the
world.
It's
the
best.
Yeah.
Have you been to Jazz Fest as one of the visits? You've never been to Jazz Fest?
No.
Dude, Jazz Fest is like the podcast thesis incarnate.
Right, because it's all musicians and food.
The food at Jazz Fest is not like, it's like food. It is Jazz Fest food.
Right.
Like it is.
It's done up for the festival.
Yeah, it's different than going to New Orleans to eat. It's like its own set of food.
I did go to a gumbo festival in.
Hello.
That same weekend, I was there with some friends. My buddy was like, it's also a gumbo festival in the park. I'm like, let's go.
And I'm listening.
Yeah. And it's like, you got like a little styrofoam cup and you just got like $5 splashes of gumbo everywhere.
Wait.
So not the thing to, you want to eat, like get like a bunch of different heavy, soupy, spicy sauces in your body.
Wait, are you talking about, you're not talking about like a cup that you like hang around your neck, like one of those like wine glasses.
Oh, I wish.
You just walk around with the same cup.
No.
Scoops of gumbo. Yeah. That's what you're, I'm
like,
picturing.
Rinse it out. Hey, just scrape some of that shrimp out the bottom and give me the next gumbo. Yeah.
I think we have an idea, a festival idea. Millions.
Hey, welcome to Zach and Gabrus's Chowder Fest. Get your bread bowl, your reusable bread bowl.
or just the cup necklace.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, like, we could just make these and sell them.
Like, they had like those Vegas assholes who wear like the yards around their neck with the straw in their mouth that are like the blues
version.
Traveler of alcoholism. Like, hooks up to your neck like Vader's harmonica.
Oh, the gumbo version of that sounds like $1 million idea.
And so let's go through a couple more LA spots with a little bit of time we have left here. What are some of your like other are you a drinker too? It's hard. Like, food people I know are usually also drinkers.
I mean, I am not a I'm not a drinker.
He just cast a bottle of Jameson and screamed, "I'm not a drinker," and he left.
I'm the gayest drinker I've gone through phases. Like, I've kind of worked my way up. I started with White Russians and in college, and then my wife kind of, like my girlfriend at the time,
made
like
you drink
wife
wine.
Now,
yeah.
She was like, no, she was actually like, be a fucking man, get a gin and tonic. Like, can't be drinking this. Like,
be a man, get a gin and tonic.
Well, dude, that's listen. That's
be a man, as in an 80-year-old Southern woman, man.
Dude, I mean, when you're drinking White Russians, that's like,
that's true.
Up.
A gin and tonic is like, you're fucking, you might as well be a cowboy at that point.
And this was like, I wasn't drinking it because of Big Lebowski. Like, I just like gin and
tonics.
Because
it's the closest to a milkshake.
You yeah, were just it was like, just delicious, right? And then gin and tonics. And then I think I got into my like watermelon Jolly Rancher phase,
like any like amaretto sours,
any cocktail that like. Well, actually, my wife took me to Italy, and I say that because like I had never been anywhere, and she's like, "You're fucking going somewhere. We're going." And she like was like, "We're going to Italy," and I was like, "All right." And she makes fun of me because when we went to Italy, I only drank white wine. Like at the time, because I was like, it's cold. Like, I can't drink warm wine. Like, and Italy was what got me to like try red wine for the first time. So
and then you were like, "Holy shit." I didn't drink red wine for a really long time because my dad was an alcoholic and drank red wine and I hated the smell of it. And then like after I moved out from the house, my wife is like, just have a glass. I'm like, I can't have red wine. And I tried white wine. White wine was too sweet. She's like, red wine's not as sweet and it's not as filling as beer and you can eat it with food, drink it with food. And I'm finally like, fine, I'll try a glass. And I'm like, holy shit, this stuff's good. Now I'm like, my teeth are like stained maroon and I'm doing all the same shit my dad. Hey, clean your robe.
By the way, that's a man's reason for not drinking red wine. My reason was like, it doesn't taste enough like white Zinfandel for me. Yeah. This come out of like,
can I have a couple of ice cubes and some seltzer in it? Can I spritz it?
Oh, we know each other so well. It's amazing. I just...
Do you have like a gut...
So so I have now graduated to, so from there I finally got into bourbon.
No, oh, smart.
And so now I'm like, you know, I like scotch, I can do it, but it's definitely like a little too manly for me.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like I went through a short tequila phase, but more like the white tequilas than
the clear tequilas.
Smoky,
I like
the
that.
Smoky darker tequilas. But yeah, I mean, I like cocktails, old fashions. I've now started to get into like the bitters, you know, like like Campari and all that kind of stuff. Like this, the Amaros.
This sounds like this is like what I would imagine a foodie's version of drinking is. It's like the flavored bitters, got mustache and suspenders mixologist guys.
Yeah.
I lived in Brooklyn for 8 years in the big 8 years, 2004 through 2012.
The ground zero. Maybe that's not a great analogy.
That's not a good New York analogy. There's a very specific ground zero there, but. The mustache suspender high-end cocktail. And I lived in Carroll Gardens where, you know, Prime Meats and all those places came from.
You were there.
I was there. So I got over it fast, but I still like myself an old-fashioned. But now I think I've reacted against all that, and I just like bourbon with ice.
Well, so that's what, right. So my new thing is, I don't know why I'm getting so gay, but just being around you. It's just, I want to be honest. I want to be honest with my feelings and everything.
And for the listeners at home, he doesn't mean gay in a derogatory way. He means like he's getting gay, like we're about to kiss. Like truly just we're becoming homosexuals.
So I went through my old fashioned phase. I've got the new old fashioned for you. It's the new old fashioned is this thing called a Boulevardier.
Ooh.
It's basically like a Negroni. Have you ever had a Negroni
before? Yeah.
But they replace the gin with rye.
Ooh, so it's rye Campari.
It's rye and Campari. And so it's still a little bit sweet like an old fashioned, but it's got that bitterness to make it like it's like the next level.
Boulevardier.
Or you can just say to the bartender, can I have
a Negroni,
but switch out the gin? And let me tell you, that works. I was actually at that works everywhere. I was at a bar where I wasn't sure, so I asked for that, and they were like, oh, you mean a Boulevardier? And I was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you just didn't want to be the guy who's like, can I have a Boulevardier? Yeah. And they're like, get the fuck like, out of here.
What the fuck are you talking about? But I was actually at Claim Jumper last weekend.
No!
Whole nother story. And they make... I was at Claim Jumper against my will, and... I looked at their cocktail menu and they make this like Campari, like cool Negroni cooler.
Oh, no.
And I'm
way.
Like, Claim Jumper, rocking the Negroni.
So then
like,
you were able to swap out the rye.
So I just said to the lady, I was like, can you put rye in this instead of gin? And she's like,
oh, you want a Claimiari?
She's like, I don't know. I'll go ask. And then she came back. She's like, well, she's like, they will, but it's 75 cents extra. And I'm like,
okay, I get guac. I get guac at Chipotle. I can handle this, babe.
Guac at Chipotle. That's like that's for
3 bucks.
That's for rich people. Yeah.
I go, hey, extra guac. I don't give a fuck.
That's how obnoxious I was. I was like, 75 cents. Why did you even bother me with that question?
Here, whip quarters at her.
I did that.
So here, one last LA reco I need from you.
Yeah.
What's a good? I'm hungover. I want some stick to your guts. I know you're a big ethnic food guy, so that counts too. But is there a place where you're like, I need something to fucking make me feel? I need to bounce back. I need some salt. I need some grease. Do you have a place that you recommend for that?
I mean, what neighborhood? What are you talking? Like, where are we?
Well, just one of your favorites, I guess. It doesn't matter neighborhood wise.
You got to narrow it down. I mean, like I said, I got 3 kids. There is like. I'm in the mood for like greasy, like gross, just disgusting stick to your ribs food is what I feel every day at 11:45. Like not like there's no like Sunday brunch.
For you at 11 a.m. every day is like if I don't eat these Cheerios out of the couch, I got to get something else in my gut.
If I'm like I wake up, when I get up at 7 a.m, I'm like, I think I'm going to have eggs for breakfast. I'm going to make myself eggs. Do we have tortillas? I'm going to shove eggs in tortillas. Maybe a little Tabasco if I'm feeling crazy.
What's a place that you would want to like you want to eat at? What's a place you would recommend but you just can't eat at often because it's gross?
The answer to every one of these questions is Panda Express
Innovation Kitchen. Right. Like,
I blew my load too early. I mean, all you can eat Korean barbecue is definitely
fantastic.
I've been
to Parks. That's the only one I've been to.
Well, Parks is not all you can eat, and that's like fancy.
Oh, yeah, no, right. Parks is not all you can eat.
Parks is like if you love steak. I've had friends who come to town and they're like, "I want a steak. Like I want to eat a big fucking steak." And you're like, "All right, you know what? I'm going to give you the LA version of that. Parks is great."
Right, cuz you cook it yourself.
Well, I mean, even it is fantastic steaks.
It's good meat.
like, you know, grilled, you know, some people,
Pork belly's good too.
Their pork belly, all that stuff. And I feel like it's a very LA experience, but their steak is still fucking awesome.
Cool. Good to know.
But all you can eat Korean barbecue, I mean, it depends on how gross you want to get. I mean, there are some $10 all you can eat places where you're just like, how is this place still in business?
I
don't want to know the answer to that question.
That's where you're taking me to. We're going to meet at a $10.
Oh, we will do that. And then there's the $20 place.
Ooh, I can handle
that. Which is
the
Splurge. And that place, you can get like fancier cuts of meat. It's not just
just dog food. It's not just a fucking cans of Alpo cooked perfectly to the point where you just hammer them down.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
Oh my God, I got it. I got it. Thai Town. There's this place called Sap Coffee Shop.
Sap, S-A-P?
Yep. It is a breakfast and lunch place only. They do this thing called boat noodles, which is, they call it boat noodles because like in Bangkok, there's like this river where there's boats on the river where you literally step onto the boat
to eat
and get a bowl of these noodles.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a pork noodle soup with like every kind of pork plus all the pork meatballs, slices of pork, and then all the like bits and pieces too. So you get a little tripe, you get a little tendon and like weird bits and stuff.
Yes.
And it is sweet and spicy and it's like kind of like the Thai version of menudo, but here's the secret ingredient is they actually put blood in the soup. So it's this murky, and that sounds, some people might
right
hear that
in my wheelhouse
and be like, oh, no, that's like too weird for me. But as far as like gateway blood foods go, this is like
gateway blood foods. Yeah, we got to do another episode of this show with you. We got to have you back on to talk about gateway blood foods.
It's like if you're a huge Walking Dead fan and kind of want to get into that whole thing. Like,
if you want to go full vampire, might I recommend you start at Sap Coffee Shop?
Yeah, this is the place. And that's like, because it is warm and filling, and but it's like that, it's got that irony little, I'm sure it definitely replenishes nutrients of some kind,
right?
In your
it's got to be good for you to drink blood.
It's science. It's science.
It's what the Spartans did, it's what the Maoris did. We'll just become super powerful, get the life essence of your enemies into your body. And you know what?
And Thai iced coffee.
I love some Thai,
or Thai iced
coffee.
Tea. They
I
got
love
them both.
Me some condensed milk and coffee. Yeah. Do you have a ramen spot you like a lot? I'm just grilling you for my own
sanity.
Ramen.
I mean, the ramen. Now ramen's become like this crazy thing. There's so many different kinds of ramen.
Yeah.
I think the best place is on Sawtell in West LA. This place called Sujita, and there's actually two places across the street from each other: Sujita and Sujita Annex. Sujita is like that like pork ramen,
which is the ramen I like,
and that's like the Here it is. This is it. So Sujita's...
creeped me out and excited me at the same time.
So Sujita, they do this like heavy pork ramen. They brought this guy over from Japan. Very specific style of ramen that very authentic. It's the only kind of ramen they sell. It's like one bowl of ramen and they do one bowl of this sukkimen, which is where you dip the... they give you the noodles on the side and you dip them in. Both of those things are great. Across the street, it was so popular, so crazy, they opened this annex across the street where everyone thought they were just going to serve the same...
And like just have waiters running
thing
across the street.
So that, right, you could have like, you know, but no, they decide to serve a different kind of ramen, which in Japan, it's known as like gyro style ramen. And it's basically, they call it the man's ramen because it is actually fattier and it's like the fattiest, like thickest broth, like you cannot believe.
Fattier than the place that just does pork.
Yes, fattier than the place that pours the extra pork into your soup, which is a thing as well.
Ugh.
This place is, it's so fatty, like you can't fit, like I would never drink the soup. Like I eat the noodles out of the soup and maybe have a couple sips. If you finish the whole bowl, and I only know this because I saw it on somebody else's Instagram, like you would, I mean, I think you'd die. But if you get to the bottom, there's actually like on the bottom of the bowl, like a congratulatory message that I've never seen before, except on somebody else's Instagram.
Well, you didn't mean it for this to be that, but that's a full blown challenge.
And
I'm going there to the annex to fucking drink.
It is. And it's super thick noodles. It's extra thick noodles, which if you're a big noodle fan, like the noodles are amazing.
Ooh, I love that.
It is intense. Very intense.
What's it called again? Sujita?
Sujita Annex.
Sujita and Sujita Annex.
Yep.
Okay. Zach, thank you so much for coming into the High and Mighty studio. So, guys, subscribe to the Food is the New Rock podcast.
Yes.
And while you're at it, if you're listening to this and not subscribed to High and Mighty, subscribe to High and Mighty while you're at it.
I've heard this rumor that if people comment on your podcast and rate it, that helps you move up in the iTunes ratings.
So comment, rate and review on Food is the New Rock. Rate and review my podcast, please. I mean, you're listening to it. Do that. I understand if you don't want to jump over and start listening to Zach's podcast, but if you're listening to this one already, help me out. But I also recommend Zach's podcast. You are at Midtown Lunch LA on Twitter. Follow Zach for LA food recos and all the
and to feel good about yourself health wise.
Yeah.
People comment on my Instagram and they're like, "How are you not dead?"
And you're like, "Oh, I'm close. Don't worry."
is that you, mom, or is that my wife? It's one or the other.
I know it's a conspiracy for you guys to keep me alive, but I'm gonna do my best to make sure it doesn't happen. So we have to get off air and start fucking hammering down these burritos. So let me say my thanks. Thank yous. Thanks to Zach for coming on. Thanks to Chris in the booth. Thanks to HeadGum. Thanks to Spreaker for hosting. And hey, shitheads, it's been great. Keep fucking listening.
That was a HeadGum podcast.